Look in front of me here. I have all the different items that we're going to be participating with as we go through this Messianic Seder. Now, the word Seder, it's common for some, and for others, it's a new word. The order of what we do is called the Seder. So the word Seder means order. And then the book that we use to bring us through the order, the Haggadah, means the telling. Because the highlight of the order of the Passover Seder, church, listen now, is the telling of the story of how God delivered his people with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And even as Father God delivered Israel 3,500 years ago out of the bondage of the Egyptians, he is doing the same thing today for his children through King Yeshua, through Yeshua HaMashiach. Remember, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." This is a celebration, beloved ones, of freedom and deliverance. Paul told us in the book of Corinthians that the things that are recorded for us in the Hebrew Bible were written not just for the Israelites to whom those events happened, but Paul said furthermore, they were also written for us, you and I, today, upon whom the end of the ages has come. And so when we read about the events of ancient Israel and the powerful acts of redemption that are there, these acts of redemption that the Lord did for Israel, listen, beloved church, they are prophetic in the sense that God is doing those same things for us today. And so when we consider Passover, I want you to hear that the same truths of redemption that we read about in the book of Exodus that are connected to the Passover, those same truths, beloved, are contained in the gospel of King Jesus. Let me put it this way. The truths of redemption that we see in the Exodus experience were the gospel that King Jesus preached, listen now, in primitive form. Think about it this way. Once again, the centerpiece of Passover, as we read in the book of Exodus, was the unblemished lamb. The children of Israel were instructed by Yahweh their God to take a lamb. It had to be an unblemished lamb. And then they were instructed to kill the lamb, not just the father neatly taking the lamb behind the house and putting it to death where the rest of the family couldn't see such a horrific event. No, it wasn't like that. Rather, the Lord said that everybody in the home had to take part in putting that innocent, unblemished lamb to death. And notice also that this lamb had actually become part of each household because the lamb actually lived with them for several days before they were instructed to put it to death. There was a personal relationship with this lamb. And then that lamb, beloved, who had been put to death, its blood was then taken and put on the top of the doorpost and on the frames of the house. The Lord said, when I move through the land of Egypt, I'm going to pass over in judgment every home that has the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost. And so you think about this, as I just got done saying, the gospel that we hear preached by Jesus was actually revealed in the Exodus account in its primitive form. How so? Well, just like Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, whose blood was shed so that we could be forgiven and redeemed, so too, beloved, was that ancient Passover lamb. And so this is so applicable for you today. More than any other figure in the book of Revelation that is connected to the ministry of Jesus, the figure that Jesus is most closely related to, listen now, is the Lamb of God. That's why in the book of Revelation, John refers to him 29 times as the Lamb of God. You see, if you have any doubt that what I'm sharing with you is spot on, I want you to consider Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 5:7. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul said, Christ has become our Passover. Could it be any clearer? Paul went on to say, therefore, he was writing to Christians, Jew and Gentile alike. He said, therefore, since Christ has become our Passover, he said, therefore, let us celebrate the feast. So welcome to the Feast of Passover as we celebrate it together in honor of King Jesus. Now notice the wine or the grape juice. During a traditional Seder, we drink from this cup four times. Now, we want to point out that we don't just drink from it once or twice, but four times, because there's a reason that we drink from it, beloved one, four times. The reason is that in the book of Exodus, chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, we read of the four expressions of Yahweh's hand and grace in delivering His people, the children of Israel. And also, beloved, this is for you and I today. Listen to Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, as I read it for you, pointing out simultaneously the four expressions there of God's salvation. Here we go. The Lord begins, "I will bring you out from under their burdens." This is Exodus 6, 6. There's the first one, the first expression. "I will bring you out from under their burdens." Isn't that awesome to know? If you're burdened right now, you don't have to be burdened forever. It's not your destiny, because God has come into the world through the person of His Son, Yeshua the Savior, to deliver us from our burdens. What did Yeshua say? "Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." "Come to the waters," Jesus said. "Stand by my side. I know you're thirsty and you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I've come to remind you that for your tears I died." He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then we continue the reading, Exodus 6, verse 6 and 7. And the Lord says, "And I will deliver you from their bondage. I'll free you." One of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament is where Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you're truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." God's a God of freedom. And through Yeshua, we can enter into total freedom. It happens little by little. It's not all at once. We press in for more and more and more. We get freer and freer as time goes by. And the time's going to come that we're going to be free indeed. The Lord said, "I'm going to bring you out from their bondage." And then we continue, the Lord says, in still Exodus 6, 6, "I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm." You know, the word redemption comes from a principle of buying back. You see, the Lord brought Israel back to Himself. You can only redeem what's been lost. The Lord redeemed Israel through the blood of a lamb. And in the same way, beloved one, He's redeemed you. He's purchased you out of the bondage of Satan, out of the bondage of HaSatan, the devil, through the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. And then lastly, in Exodus 6, 7, we find the fourth symbol of our redemption, which once again is connected to drinking the four glasses of wine or grape juice. We read there this, "I will take you for my people. I will take you," the Lord says, "for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord, your God." God said, "I'm going to take you to myself, and you're going to know I'm your God." Wow, I just feel the Lord's love right there. We take the first cup of wine. This is the Kiddush, or the cup of sanctification. We're proclaiming the holiness of the day. And I want you to repeat after me. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has brought forth the fruit of the vine. We praise you, Father. We love you. During the course of the Seder tonight, I'm going to be washing my hands two times. They're both ceremonial, but the first time that I wash my hands, it's going to be a form of washing that's just customary for Jewish people before all meals. And so we'll be washing again in a little bit. And the second time that we wash is going to be more specifically related to this Passover Seder tonight. And something extremely important happens there that has great application for your faith in Messiah Jesus. But before we go to that second ceremonial washing, I want to first, in honor of our tradition, just begin to wash my hands in order to prepare myself ceremonially to have clean hands so that we can begin to touch the food. Now that our hands are clean, we're going to take the first element in the Passover Seder. This is parsley. It's called carpus. And it is oftentimes eaten before a meal in the ancient world. But when we do it on Passover, it has special meaning. I'm going to take this carpus, this parsley, and I'm going to be dipping it in this bowl of salt water. Remember, it's salt water. Now, the salt water symbolizes the Sea of Reeds, the sea that God parted, that He brought the Israelites supernaturally through. Some know it as the Red Sea. And I'm going to take this carpus, this parsley, and dip it into the salt water, which represents the Red Sea. And I'm going to dip it in once. This was for Israel that was young and green. And in the springtime of their nation, they were birthed out of Egypt to be a nation unto God. But then I'm going to dip it in a second time. The second time I dip it in, I'm dipping it in for Egypt that tried to follow them into the sea. Israel went into the sea. Egypt tried to follow them into the sea. So I dip it in for Egypt that tried to follow them into the sea. But what happened when Egypt tried to follow Israel into the sea to overtake them? The sea came up, and what happened? It swallowed them under the hatch. Wow. Can you thank God for protecting you and saving you from your enemies? He really has. I have here a special napkin. We call this the afikomen. This napkin contains three different pouches. You can see one pouch here, and then here's another pouch with the second piece of matzah. And then we have a third pouch in here as well, containing a third piece of matzah. And this element of the Seder is very mysterious. There are many different interpretations as to where this mysterious ceremony, this mysterious rite comes out of. But one thing is certain, this is how it works. At this point in the Seder meal, going back approximately 2,000 years to the time of Jesus, the piece of matzah in the middle pouch, remember one, two, three, the piece of matzah from the middle pouch is removed. Now notice the matzah. It's striped, just like Jesus was striped with the whip on His back. It's pierced, just like they pierced Jesus, hands and feet, and then the sword through His side. And then this piece of matzah is broken. Remember, Jewish people all over the world have done this for hundreds and hundreds of years. Half of the matzah is put back in to the afikomen napkin. The other half is taken and it's wrapped in a linen, a white linen. Many of you know that oftentimes Jewish people are buried in simple white linen burial cloths. And then this piece of matzah hidden in the linen is hidden. So I'm going to hide it right now, even though you'll be able to see me. But in a traditional Seder, we would actually go in the house and hide it somewhere under a couch or a pillow or a piece of furniture. I'm going to hide it now. And we're going to come back to this later tonight and bring it back out and show you what this mysterious rite of passage, this mysterious ritual is all about. Now I'm going to take the matzah once again. Behold this matzah, the symbol of affliction and poverty. It's the bread that our ancestors ate as slaves in the land of Egypt. We are mindful tonight of the hardships they suffered and the cruelty they endured. And now, my friends, we lead into the telling of the Passover story. Remember, I told you that the booklet that we use to guide us through the Seder is called the Haggadah. And the most important part is the telling of the story. That's what Haggadah means. And so, as a lead-in to the telling of the story, we have a song that we sing, and their song is then followed by four questions. And the song goes like this. Manish tana halayla hazeh mikol halelot. And what that means, that's Hebrew, and what it means is, why is this night different, this night that we're celebrating Passover, than all other nights? And one of the children will ask these four questions. Why do we eat only matzah? Why do we dip? They ask these four questions. Why the bitter herbs? And why are we relaxing and reclining as if we are kings? Over here, I have a pillow. And this pillow is part of the Seder. And the reason is because we're celebrating the fact that we're no longer in bondage. We're free now. Father God has set us free. Yahweh has freed us, and now we're celebrating that freedom with the pillow, reclining, hallelujah, as kings. So many things I could share about Passover. Even as God chose Israel, He chose you. You know, the Bible tells us that God did not choose Israel because they were greater than any other people, but He chose them because He loved them. And did you know, my friend? Did you know, beloved one? God chose you. You don't believe in Jesus. You don't love Him by accident. Rather, you love Him because He first loved you. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Even as the Lord chose Israel to be a people for Himself, out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, those of you that know and love Jesus, He chose you. That's why you know Him. That's why you love Him. Because the power of the Spirit of the Lord is activated in your life. God chose you, Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, even before, hallelujah, the foundation of the world. It's so beautiful, beloved, that Passover isn't just about what God did for Israel 3,500 years ago. It's about what Jesus is still doing in our lives today. Now, in next week's broadcast, we're going to go deeper into the Seder meal. I'm going to make personal application for your life with the goal being to love Him back the way that He loves us.